two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. KSL's top national story, special coverage with Dave and Dejanovic.
Charged with a crime. Both parents of Ethan Crumbly are also charged with crimes. We know that four kids are dead in that Michigan shooting. Their son is accused of being the shooter last week. Many others injured. And the evidence seems to be mounting, Dave, against the parents and their role. And the prosecutor has now charged them with involuntary manslaughter. They're being held on $1 million bail between the two of them.
Based on the information and evidence I have received, today I am announcing charges against the shooter's parents, Jennifer and James Crumbly.
Very, very strange to me that the parents would be charged with the crime, with this murder, essentially. Because if the boy mentioned he wanted a gun to commit violence and then the parents go out and buy a gun, okay, I could see that connection. But it doesn't seem like they had an understanding that he was at this point, that he wanted to shoot up a school.
Maybe if I share more of the evidence that the prosecutor divulged during a couple of press conferences over the weekend, it'll bring to light her mindset on this. The parents, or the dad, went with their son on Black Friday to buy that gun. So this gun hasn't been floating around the house for years on end, according to the evidence that was presented. This was a Black Friday purchase. And then they were also called to a meeting at the school after their son was found to be drawing strange and frightening images. And then also it's been found that he was documenting this all in a journal that he kept. Let's listen to more of the evidence from the prosecutor in Michigan. And then let's get a doctor on the line in a moment to walk through the warning signs that were missed. And, you know, your mind's never going to go that your kid's going to do this, right? Your mind's never going
to
go there.
I can't imagine ever coming to the point where, unless some kid said it specifically, I want to shoot up a school, it would almost have to be that black and white to me for my mind to go that dark.
Okay. So let's listen to what the prosecutor said and then talk to the psychiatrist about the possible signs that we may be missing in our own homes.
Morning of the shooting, the next day, Ethan Crumbly's teacher came upon a note on Ethan's desk, which alarmed her to the point that she took a picture of it on her cell phone. The note contained the following: a drawing of a semi-automatic handgun pointing at the words, quote, "the thoughts won't stop, help me," end quote. In another section of the note was a drawing of a bullet with the following words above that bullet, quote, "blood everywhere," end quote. Between the drawing of the gun and the bullet is a drawing of a person who appears to have been shot twice and bleeding. At the meeting, James and Jennifer Crumbly were shown the drawing and were advised that they were required to get their son into counseling within 48 hours. Both James and Jennifer Crumbly failed to ask their son if he had his gun with him or where his gun was located, and failed to inspect his backpack for the presence of the gun, which he had with him.
And they're accused of leaving the school that day without their son and leaving him at school.
So she kept referring to it as his gun, which definitely makes it sound like the parents went out and bought him a gun, and then they didn't know whether or not he had it or not. Can a 15-year-old in this state own a gun, own a handgun? That's a little strange to me. I don't totally understand that part of it, and I think that's probably an important piece of the information there.
Dr. Hans Watson is a psychiatrist, a trauma expert. You joined us live on the line last week when we were learning more details about this horrific situation in that school, that high school in Michigan, where four kids were shot dead, suspect in custody. Now the parents have been arrested, being held on bail. Here's where my mind went. As a parent, did they miss a bunch of warning signs, or did they just have a head in the sand mentality? Not my kid. Doctor, your thoughts?
The question is a good one, and my mind goes to or both, because there were a few key things there that as somebody who has done forensic evaluations for the court that I immediately would have picked up on and said, let me look into this. And generally, those are competency trial evaluations where I'm looking to say, do they have their mental wits about them enough to stand trial? But the thing that immediately stood out was when he wrote, the thoughts won't stop, help me. That's right. Going to be troublesome for the parents, because he literally is saying, help me. And they chose not to intervene. And then the counseling, they would then have to hear, what did you do to seek that counseling after you had it? And so these were two things where the general population generally isn't going to have their children come to them saying, the thoughts won't stop, help me, and then have somebody else say, this is serious enough, you need to seek professional help. I think that's trying to read somebody's mind is what I'm doing here. Yeah. I think that's where the local prosecutor is likely looking and saying, you failed to intervene. And then you also have to take into account the politics of this situation. Michigan is a bit of an anti-gun state, so they're obviously going to jump on that. But they did clearly see some warning signs there that an adult, a parent, should be identifying, hey, if a professional tells me this is something you need to get professional help with, and the child is saying things like, I can't stop it, somebody help me. Those would be the things as a parent I would look at and say, wow, it's time to really get some help. And at this point, I need to figure out different ways that could be dangerous to the child, much less somebody else. And so I would have been more worried about suicide using that gun than I would have been the person shooting up the school. But in rare cases, this is the stark reality.
And the timeline of this is difficult because, again, the school says he needs therapy within 48 hours. You know, when did this happen? When did they have this conversation? And should they have taken him immediately out of the school and put him into some sort of treatment facility? Because, again, a lot of this would have to have had happened so quickly, almost unrealistically fast.
I would hope, doctor, that I would have taken my child right in that moment and gotten them into treatment. But is that generally what parents do? I mean, I haven't been in that moment. Are we just they'll be okay in school and I'll get to this later today, when you really didn't have that kind of time to deal with it later?
Yeah, you've perfectly said. What you would want to do is immediately, before you leave that school, you would want to go and sit down with your child and say, hey, this sounds like something's really the matter. Is this something I need to help you with now? Or can you keep yourself safe? Can you keep others safe? What's going on? And they have that conversation with the child. And maybe they did and maybe they didn't. If they did, that would be a pretty strong defense of the parents being able to say, hey, they did talk to this child about it. And they're not mind readers. But if they didn't, that's a huge oversight by these parents to not actually say, where's an office where we could talk to our child? Where's a hallway where we could talk to our child and just see, are you going to be okay? Are you safe enough to where we can get you home tonight and work through this together?
Dr. Hans Watson, thank you so much for joining us, a psychiatrist and trauma expert, founder of Elite, University Elite, and has been gracious enough to talk us through some of this. Again, it is such a traumatic experience, and it's such a sad story. This is a heartbreaking story, but this is very unique to charge parents with a crime that the son commits.
But they also knew they bought the gun for him on Black Friday, just days earlier. So they knew that. And the prosecutor said they failed. The school did not know that. That the parents failed to search this child's backpack.
Are you saying buying a gun is illegal?
No, I'm just saying they knew in the moment. I'm not saying anything about illegality. I'm saying morally, you see these pictures being drawn and your child having these thoughts. The thoughts won't stop. Please help me. And this drawing that is just very bloodied. And you know, as a parent, you purchased him a gun just days earlier. Should the parents be charged? 801-575-TALK. We're going to take calls. 801-575-TALK. Do you think in this case that the parents deserve to answer to the deaths of these four children at that high school in Michigan? 801-575-TALK.
And Dujanovic.
Tim and Amanda here with breaking updates. Mornings from 5 to 9.
Then from 3 to 7, it's Jeff Kaplan and his Minute of News.
We're all on KSL News Radio.
Utah's all-day companion for news. Dave and Dujanovic. KSL's top national story. Special coverage with Dave and Dujanovic.
They've been charged with four counts of manslaughter. They're being held on $1 million bail total, $500,000 each. We're talking about the parents of Ethan Crumbly, the 15-year-old sophomore at that high school in Michigan, who's accused of gunning down and killing four students, injuring many others last week during a rampage at the school. And the parents being charged is the topic of conversation. Should they be?
It's a very, very difficult situation. And it's hard for me to wrap my head around why these parents should be charged. Again, responsible. Are they? Did they help this kid commit that crime? That's almost the straight line I would need to see. And as we hear from the prosecutor, as they describe why they're being charged, it brings up a lot of questions for me. And I think we're going to play some of these explanations from the prosecutor of why she felt it was important to charge the parents for the crime the son committed.
Let's listen to ABC News legal analyst Terry Austin. She feels like the prosecutor does have a strong case, Dave.
It doesn't have to be premeditated. It just has to be criminal negligence. And she can say for a fact that they bought the gun and they knew about the fact that he had the gun that day. They didn't do anything and they were warned.
Now, they were warned by the school, because a teacher had snapped details that are coming out now. Now, we aren't looking at this evidence ourselves, so we're just going off what the prosecutor has said. And it was a very disturbing photo, picture that he was apparently drawing. And it said, "The thoughts won't stop. Help me." Parents were called to a meeting at the school, knowing they had purchased a gun on Black Friday with Ethan. Or the dad had with Ethan. But the school prosecutor alleges they never even asked if Ethan had the gun with him, nor did the school know that they had just made this recent purchase.
Now, this is an important part of the story. Now, did the kids buy a gun with Ethan, or did they buy a gun for Ethan? That is a very important distinction, because there is nothing wrong with the parents buying a gun, right? But if they were purchasing the handgun for the child, okay, then now it starts getting a little tricky here, right? Because if they bought the gun for themselves and then he stole the gun essentially from the parents, okay, well, then the parents probably aren't responsible. But if they did buy a 15-year-old a weapon, a gun, then you need to know where that gun is.
Let's get to our callers. 801-575-TALK. Do you feel like the parents should be charged in this case in Michigan? Evelyn from Salt Lake City, what's your take?
I do believe that the parents should be held at a certain degree for not having that gun in a secure place. But my thoughts are more around because they were advised by the school. So I feel like a lot of the responsibility should also come to the school. The school should be held accountable to some certain degree, especially with drawings being made. Why did they not place the kid under, why did they not also secure the child's backpack? If the child is drawing graphic images like that, why would they not want to inspect his locker room or his backpack? You know, there needed his car, to be more responsibility taken by the school.
A car,
as well.
if he rode to school with a friend. Evelyn, you bring up excellent points. We are actually digging into that angle for the Dave Medujanovic show tomorrow on what the school's responsibility is on this.
So often, though, whenever a tragedy happens, we see this all the time. We don't want, how do I say it? We want to blame a lot of people because a lot of warning signs are missed. And in hindsight, in retrospect, you look at it and you're like, oh, well, now I'm piecing it together. But in the moment, violent pictures, the thought that my mind would go from violent pictures to he's going to shoot up a school, that's not a logical progression.
But I would hope I would do this. I would hope I would remove my child from the school.
For how long?
Get him to therapy right away, as long as it takes.
Where's the emergency room for therapy?
Well, you can go to Huntsman Mental Health Institute anytime, 24/7, right up there at the Hill in the University of Utah. Now, I live in Salt Lake County. It's convenient for me. But they're open 24/7. There's the Safe UT app, where you can download that for free. And as a parent, go on there and get a counselor, a crisis counselor, on the line right away and ask them what to do. But this is 2020 hindsight. What I'm thinking is I hope that I can recognize these signs in my own child enough that I could protect them, because I don't know if that means that they are in a mindset that they want to die by suicide, or they're in a mindset that they're going to harm somebody else. But in that moment, am I looking at that as something that needs instant response from me? Not, oh, I'll put that off till tomorrow. I want to get to another caller, Dave. We've got Devin from Sandy. Should the parents in Michigan be charged?
Hey, Debbie. Hey, Dave. I think yes. I don't think it's legal for any minor to possess a firearm, although I could be wrong. And then whether I'm right or wrong about that, I think their choice to purchase him a gun, it's clear from social media that that was a gift, that they bought it for him. And then whatever their awareness was about his level of struggles, they should have confiscated the gun.
Well, and I think that's the important angle that we don't totally know. The prosecutor does refer to it as his gun. Now, was that gun purchased by the parents for him? You know, is it a birthday present? Because it is illegal in Michigan for anyone under the age of 18 to purchase a gun, a handgun, on their own. It is legal for them to possess a gun, but it has to be locked away, and, you know, they can have it basically.
Not at school, though, right?
Obviously not.
Not at school.
Obviously
not. Okay. I just want to make that clear.
Yeah, I mean, nowhere is a gun is a... A school is a no-gun zone, right? So never would it be appropriate for a student to bring a gun to a school, right? So that is an important part of the information of the story that we need to know. Again, there's a lot of parents that own guns right now that have purchased a gun for themselves. Are they going to be responsible if that child takes that gun without their knowledge and uses it to commit a crime?
Great point. Again, following up this tomorrow with the issue that Evelyn brought up moments ago. What's the culpability? What's the responsibility of the school? Why did they not search the backpack? Why did they not search the locker? Why did they send him back to class after parents left the school grounds without him?
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.